Take a look in the final chapter in Shai Yisrael, chapter 13. We haven't gone through it straight. A lot of it, I think, is not entirely relevant for a broader audience. Understandably so. It's not every aspect of it is for everyone. Antisemitism is largely a message to Jews. And I think this chapter is not really an exception to that, but I think it is valuable for everybody to understand because it does relate to a broader audience. The holy singer in Tehillim, Psalms, that is King David, generally speaking, it's explicit in this particular verse, Lamnatzeach al Hagitis Mizmor LeDavid, which, by the way, it's an interesting point about this particular Mizmor, this psalm. The term Gitis is an instrument. Targum says Kinora, a Kinor, and I don't know the exact identity of this ancient instrument, but Rashi says something pretty fascinating. Klizemer Sheba Migas. This is a Philistine oriented instrument, meaning it's a musical instrument that the people, he says, Shom Etzim Umanim Lasosam. Where are the artisans who create this particular type of instrument? They are found in the city of Gath, which is a Philistine city, one of the five Philistine cities. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the only place where they can be found, but this is where you can find, clearly where you can find artisans that manufacture these types of instruments, and it's incorporated into Tehillim. It is quite a remarkable thing. We do find, although the Jewish people were engaged in long-standing warfare with the Philistines, but there was a cross-cultural influence, obviously, in that the instrument of this city is specifically being used for the accompaniment of this particular psalm. The musical accompaniment is from the Gitis, is the instrument that is largely manufactured in Gath. Well, we find this across the board. It's not a unique feature over here. You look at the instrumentation. You were talking about the Reconquista earlier. Overlap, cultural influence between the Christians in Spain and the Muslims of Spain over the course of 800 years approximately. There was a great cultural overlap in affecting architecture, musical styles, instrumentation that we learn from our enemies is not a unique feature, and incorporate that which we find to be uplifting and beneficial even within the service of God. It's being gaining eternal value, so to speak. It is incorporated into this mizmor. So that is something that is worth noting. The Nesiv mentions over here, it's a very cryptic series of verses. It is really bringing up this wondrous phenomena. That the power of engaging in Torah study, kiyuma, the fulfillment of the Torah, the hachzakasa, and the support of Torah, these three elements, again, the learning of Torah, the fulfillment of Torah, and the strengthening of Torah, the support, the financial support, whatever support is necessary to ensure that Torah can take place, the study and fulfillment of Torah, Paul Yeshua's harbe bekev Yisrael, these all are the secret weapon, if you will. They bring out tremendous salvation among Israel. Ad shesam es devarav befi malchem ala. To the extent that this psalm is presented from a vantage point of the supernal angels, va'amar b'shmam, the psalmist here, King David, is presenting from the perspective of the angels. Let's see how he writes it. He quotes this verse, so the second verse in chapter 8 of Psalms, so Kapitel Ches, Adonai Adonenu, Ma'adir Shimcha b'chol aretz. So God, our master, how powerful, how majestic is your name in all the land, Asher t'no hodcha al shamayim, that you shall give of your glory upon the heavens. It's a, as I mentioned before, very cryptic. What is the dynamic here? between heaven and earth. Mipi olim. Let's see the next verse. The Nesiv is going to explain for us. Mipi olim v'yonkim, from the mouth of olim, is a term generally meaning those that are helpless. Is a basic exposition of the word yonkim, those that are sucklings, who derive their sustenance through nursing. So from the mouth of these helpless and nursing, yisadata oz, you have founded strength, leman tzarecha, for the sake of your belligerents, those who are harming you, to bring destruction to the enemy, umisnakim, and the one who seeks vengeance.
Ashbitz is to cause them to cease.
Correct. Correct. Like Shabbos.
Right.
Cessation of malacha.
That when I saw that, that like totally transformed my idea of Shabbos.
In modern Hebrew, Shvita is a strike. They're not working.
Really?
Sure. So the Netziv explains of his name. Blessed be he. Hamoleis kol aretz, that fills the entire earth. Alideis Yisrael, through the hands of Israel. Ad sheyesh gam lahem levakish. So much so, to such an extent, these supernal angels are requesting. Shalavai sheiten hod kazeh gam al shemayim. Would that it be that God gives such glory also over the heavens, which is really kind of a topsy-turvy way of looking at things. God is normally presented as reigning in heaven, and the earth, well, is there a revelation of God? Is there not? This is not necessarily as obvious. He's saying just the opposite. The supernal angels are saying, look at what's going on through the hand of Israel. There's such revelation. Would that it would be that we have such a thing in the heavens.
Ubir hamisharen, es osan eplos, vispalus, nirs bezeh.
The singer, King David, is explaining this wonderment.
The Omar, what have they perceived? The Mishara, the singer, says, Mipi olalim v'yonkim,
from the mouth of the helpless and the suckling. Yisatoz, you've founded strength.
Habir olalim, what does that mean, olalim?
Kan enu kama olalim shalulech. Not like the verse in Echa, Dalet Dalet. Those olalim are asking for bread. Dimkain, if it would mean the same type, those who are asking for bread,
hayaroi lahaktim v'yonkim.
Then the verse should have started with yonkim. It should have said mipi yonkim v'olalim. And that's not what the verse does. Meaning, the helpless who need to ask for bread are in better shape than a nursing baby in the sense of independence. They're asking for bread, but they're able to ask for bread. They're not a totally helpless infant. So therefore, the interpretation of Olalim, the Netziv said, is not like over there in Echa, in Lamentations.
Ela pirush Olalim,
what does it mean in this context?
Hema ha'ovrim ubrim shebemei ima.
This is referring to fetuses that are in the mother's stomach. Like the verse in Job 3:16. The helpless who have not seen light. That is referring to a fetus.
B'hu mashal, this is a parable. Al shnei ofanei amalei tera esheivur.
These two, helpless and suckling, are two categories of those who toil in tera, as he will explain. And from the mouth of olalim v'yonkim, we have this foundation of strength.
V'hine,
behold, amru b'mechilta parshas b'shalach, the medrash in parshas b'shalach says, v'yisa,
lo nitnatar el ochleman, shnim lahem ochle truma.
The Torah is given to two categories. Well, primarily to those who ate the manna. They were in the desert. They had a nice stipend, if you will. Every day from the heaven rained forth this bread called man, and the Torah was given to them. They had their needs addressed in a manner that was miraculous. And they were able to devote themselves to toil and engage in assimilating the Torah into their being in a unique manner, without any distraction.
B'shnim lehem, secondarily, ochle truma.
Those who consume truma, those are the kohanim, they eat truma, the tithe,
They're given this gift from the nation in order to devote themselves to the Torah and serving the nation in that manner. And the reason for this is the deep plumbing of the depths of the Torah, investigating into the Torah. It's not possible, unless one is of clear mind, is entirely divested of any distraction of sustenance. If a person is busy trying to sustain themselves, they're not actually capable of doing the deep iyun in Torah, the deep investigation to plumb the depths of the Torah. It's not compatible. It really is something that requires a full engagement in, and the pursuit of sustenance is something that, if it must be engaged in, will detract inevitably from Omek Ha'iyun, the depth of investigation of the Torah. This is an amelus, it's a toil, and if a person is multitasking, so to speak, they're not going to be able to devote themselves in that ideal manner. The greatest paradigm that we find, the fulfillment of the ability to entirely focus on Limud HaTorah, but Omek Ha'iyun, that was among those who consumed the man. They ate the man, Shayu, Betuchim, Mizon Hasein. They had a security of where they were being sustained from God. Lo Nitzrach L'Shum Adam. There was no need for any human intervention. Afilu Eze Tovasana. Not even like of consumption of of Truma. Tovasana is where the Truma, this tithe that is given to the Kohanim, the owner, he has to give it away, but he can choose which Kohen he wants to give it to. He doesn't get to give it to any particular Kohen. Shnim Lehem Ochle Truma. Nonetheless, they do have a source of sustenance, the Kohanim, that is not on the same caliber as those who consume the man, but it is secondary in that it facilitates amelus be'omaka'im, toiling in this great depth to investigate, plumb the depths of the Torah. Shahayu gam hema betuchim be'baleim shi'itnu l'kohanim, that the Kohanim who had relationships with farmers that were giving tithes, they had established relationships and they were less distracted with the needs of sustaining themselves. Yosim and Alevim b'Maisros. This is more so than the Levitical gifts of Maisa Rishon, the first tithe, because there's a qualitative difference. The first tithe, which is given to the Levites, is chulin. It's a gift that must be given. There's a financial transfer, but the produce itself is not sanctified. So therefore, the farmer doesn't have any incentive to quickly get this out of his hands. So yes, when he gets to it, he'll give to the Levite, hopefully, but the Levite is less confident in it ever reaching his door. The truma, this tithe that is consecrated, that is going to the Kohanim, that is something that the non-Kohen has pressure to get out of his house. He doesn't want any of members of his household to inadvertently eat it, render it impure. It's holy, it's a hot potato, he's got to get out of here. So it's going straight to the Kohen, in contrast with the first tithe going to the Levites, that it's chulin, it's non-sanctified, and therefore there's no additional pressure to give it, other than there's a mitzvah to give it, of course, but it doesn't have the same urgency. Of course, it's a severe punishment for a non-Kohen to eat truma. If it would be intentional, it would be misa v'de shemayim, death at the hands of heaven. Bad idea. Nonetheless, it's still secondary to those who ate the man. The owner could give it to any coin he wants, so any individual coin is not absolutely certain he's getting. That's why the Kohanim were not quite as clear and settled like those who ate the man. Nonetheless, yes, they are second in terms of their ability to grasp the Torah. They were given a strength and the ability to focus and toil in the Torah. The ability of the owners is something that is a matter that is causes a certain degree of friction, if you will. But presumably, who is the farmer who raised this crop going to want to give it to a Kohen that's doing his job, who is toiling in the Torah? So if he does his job, so he's probably going to get some truma. The farmer wants to support Torah. That's a big imperative. Jewish life, like we said in the beginning, introducing here, hachazakas haTorah, we mentioned it before, is a tremendous thing. Strengthening the Torah, not just personally engaging in limud haTorah, learning Torah, or fulfillment of Torah, but strengthening Torah, giving financial support, other infrastructure needs, ensuring that there is the ability for others to engage in limud haTorah, that is a tremendous source, as he said in the introduction, of Yeshua's, of salvations for the Jewish people. In this regard, they are, in the parable of the singer, King David over here, they're compared to Olalim V'yonkim, to the fetus and the nursing baby. The fetus doesn't have to ask for anything. It's on tap. It's got the umbilical cord. It's just direct. That's like the month. Its sustenance is found right there. In some regards, the fetus is even biologically given precedent over the mother. It depletes the mother. So whenever he needs something, hungry, okay, it comes straight from the mother at all times. This is the mashal, the parable for those who consume the man. They found their food ready every day, every morning. And the nursing infant also has his sustenance secured. Why is there security here? More than the baby would like to nurse. The mother feels a pressure to give the milk. It's uncomfortable. If she's filled with milk, she needs to give the milk. So she has a personal interest in giving this milk. And that creates a physiological imperative for her to deliver that milk to the baby. Yes, the baby wants milk, it can cry. But there's actually, on the side of the giver, a drive to share that milk and relieve herself. Sometimes the baby has to remind his mother, cry, say, feed me. That happens on occasion. So therefore, it's on a lower level of security than the fetus. In a similar vein, that's the mashal of King David over here, the parable. It gives us moshal is a ruler. The mashal gives us mastery over whatever it is trying to describe.
Wow.
So too, in every generation, ofani amalitar, we have two different tracks for those that toil in Torah study. Yesh asher havishtada lamedes b'no Torah. Sometimes the father, he engages in the required overtures to ensure that his son can learn Torah. And he sustains his son with rejoicing. Such a setup, that is like Ochleman. That's like somebody who has straight, God provided directly in the desert, gave us the sustenance, that was the man. And sometimes, this person could be in Kalo, and he's learning Torah, and other people are supporting the Kalo. They're interested in having a share in this Torah study. And it's collected from a broader group. Others, not his father, but others. Nimshulu ochle truma. That is similar to those who eat truma. V'amra ha-mesherer. And the singer says, Kekadosh Baruch Hu yased es oz ha-Torah. The Holy One, blessed be, he has founded the strength, the Torah, al-yidei shnei ofane amalei Torah elu. Through these two tracks, those that are able to focus in the depths of grasping the understanding of God, the enlightenment from God, his wisdom, through the sustenance the Father provides with rejoicing, or through those that sustain limud haTorah through their interest in meriting share in that Torah study. But it's an adava from Achim, from others. Leman tzarecha, for the sake of those that are harming you, waging war against you, Shehem Tzar Yisrael, that is the enemies of the Jewish people that are belligerents against the Jews, against Israel, lahashbis oyev umisnakim, to cause a cessation of the enemy and those who seek to achieve vengeance. Hem befo, oyev umachshava v'dibur. there are two tracks over here as well. The Tsarim are engaging in violence. And the Oyev, the enemy, is in thought and speech. So he's going to chant and engage in rhetoric, but not engage in actual physical violence. There are different tracks of enemy. So the belligerent and the enemy. Mishum hachi tigam onklus kama pamim al oyev bali devava. That's why tagam onklus, various places, translates into Aramaic, oyev, this enemy, as bali devava hainu mitzar b'dvar, the one who engages in rhetoric that causes harm. Ba'atzmam yodim hetiv shirak sheker him adavim. They know fully well that they're just speaking deceitfully with falsehood. Ba'osmas atzmam kimis nakmim. And they present themselves falsely, deceitfully, as those seeking vengeance to redress a wrong. Ba'kol eile yosef kash baruch hu es ozos hara u'milchamto bi'invam. And against all of these enemies, with violence, rhetoric, engaging in so-called resistance, the Holy One, blessed be He, has founded the strength of the Torah and its war of Iyun and Amal. The process of plumbing the depths of Torah study to glean the wisdom, enlightenment from God, that is called Melchamta Shel Torah, the war of Torah. The person has to be fully focused on such an application and put himself into it. It's a toil. Kedei shebeschuz ze nia nitzulim. In the merit of this, they will be saved. Mitzarim v'oivim u'misnaknim. From those that engage in violence, those that engage in vicious rhetoric, and those that seek vengeance, so-called vengeance, presenting themselves as seeking vengeance. There is no greater glory and expression of divine majesty in the land like this. Through the immersion of one's conscious thought in the Torah, full being in the Torah, and the toil, the complete submission of one's will to understand what is God's will. In this manner, nitzulim anachna, we are saved mikol adam ra, from every evil man. And this is beyond the capacity of human intellect to understand this. It sounds like hocus pocus. This is only the manifestation of the glory of God who dwells in Israel. That He makes it, God makes it, that from these weaklings, the yonkim, the olulim, that are being sustained through hachzok zatera, the strengthening of the Torah, either through the parents, the father, or other people, that they're able to devote themselves to mechamta shel Torah, to the war of Torah, to be omik, misamek, be'iyun, over amel. So that is the source of salvation against all these various enemies of the Jewish people. Behold, we've already mentioned that we learned concerning the Jews in exile, prototype of Mais Avosim Labanim, that what affects the patriarchs is an adumbration of what will affect the descendants that we ourselves go through in later generations, like a ripple. Our patriarch Jacob, he is the sign and the indication for his sons in the days of the exile. He was in exile in Aran. Kefi shekasavtel el, this was mentioned earlier, we spoke about it. Al kein ira lo im lavan hasina. And he was he experienced the hatred, antisemitism of his father-in-law Lavan. Ve'alilos, and the libels against him. Kmo shehay Lavanu, mei pizurim begot. That Lavan's son said, look what our uncle has done with all of our father's wealth. He's created all of this, that's basically siphoned it off for himself, all this glory. This type of libelous approach soured relations, and the hatred, jealousy, ran very deeply. It was against Yaakov, against his success, against his commitment to God, and his understanding of divine law that they viewed suspiciously. And this is a prototype of antisemitism when the Jews have been spread out. throughout the generations, throughout all the lands. Also, with the interaction, what transpired for Yaakov with his brother, that was a sign for his sons in exile. Akein Pirshu, therefore, they explain, this is in Bereishis, concerning this verse, Achas Viko, if Esav should come upon one camp and strike it, Elu Achein Shemdam. The Medrash says, Medrash Rabbah, these are our brothers in the south. God forbid. That's one encampment of Jews that could be struck. The Jews in the south, our brothers in the south. And the remaining encampment will be a source of refuge that will be spared. These are our brothers in the exile, not in the south. So this idea of having the Jews spread out, the Jews were exterminated in Eastern Europe. There were Jewish communities that were spared in America and other countries around the world. That is the sad, tragic experience that, although not realized in a dangerous experience for Yaakov personally, he was prepared for that. That is an allusion to the future experience of the Jews in exile. Visa od sham, further the Medrash says, Rabbeinu, can have a solik malchusa have mistakil b'hada pashasa. When Rabbeinu, when our master would go to have an encounter with the emperor or whoever he was meeting, that was in a position of power, he would look through to glean wisdom from this parasha in the Torah describing the interactions between Yaakov and Esav. I can't see the baal hasibos yisbarach shmo. Therefore, the causer of all causes, blessed be he, brought about Shabashah Sha'al Mitzrayim, that at the time that he went up from Egypt, I know Shaleh Lakvura Bezrael, when Jacob was brought up for burial in the land of Israel, Shia Bekavud Me'od, it would be in great glory. Na'ale Gam Mitzaram Lucha, he even came up from as a dignitary of the royalty, Shahay Shambagola, that was in the exile. So he was the father of the viceroy of Joseph. So this was a funeral, as described in the Torah, like no other. Umishar Malchus, and from other kingdoms, Kamavur Breshis Rabo, Pasa Gevo Adgon Hotod, as described, Rashi also, Pasa brings it, that the various nations paid their respects to Yaakov as he journeyed to be buried in Maris Machpelah and Hebron. All of this is as a sign and indication for his sons, for the descendants of the Jewish people. Be'ace Kates. This will also be reflected at the end of the time of redemption. May it be quickly in our days. As we go out to the land of Israel, it will be in great glory. Also from the nations, that we are in their midst in exile, and from other nations. Kafi should be Arnu, the Mikdavar, as explained in the commentary Al Torah, in Mikdavar. So Pashas Hazinu, Apostle, Ke'ese, El Shamayim Yodi. But I will raise to the heavens my hand. And Siva there explains beautifully that there will be a shift of paradigm. The nations of the world will abandon their religious dogmas and embrace the sciences largely and the pursuit of truth and being osek b'yeshuva shel olam and recognize the value of the Torah as conveyed by the Jewish people, the authentic religion for humanity, the Sheva Mitzvot Menoach, that is something that the nation's world will become receptive towards as we approach the days of the Geula. Ultimately, Israel will go forth in glory and viewed in a position of greatness. And all of this is alluded to at the final return of Yaakov to the land of Israel after his death, and he's buried there. But and this is alluded to in the words of the sages in Tainus. Hey, Amid Beis, Yaakov Vino Lemes. They say that our patriarch Jacob did not die. Pirush, the meaning, here Gishviyada Bekovish Nasilo, that he was sensitive and aware of the glory that was being performed for him. The also Gadosh Baruch Hu came to Yaakov Avinu, and the Holy One, blessed be He, did this for our father, our patriarch Jacob, as a means of providing a sign, an indication for his sons, Be'ez, Ketz, Hayomim, Meher V'Imenu, for the upcoming redemption, may it be speedily in our days. Amen.